Parshas Noach. Welcome back, everybody, after the Yom Tovim. The Chofetz Chaim once met somebody, and he said to him, he says, "Tell me, my friend, do you think that the sun will set today?" So he said, "The Chofetz Chaim, sure. Are you absolutely sure? Convinced?" So he says, "Well, how do you know? How do I know that the sun will set today? I mean, that's what happened yesterday. That's what happened the day before. That's what happened last week, last month, and last year. And as far as I know, it's always happened. So I have no good reason to think that today will be any different." Okay. He says, "Tell me, do you think the sun will rise again tomorrow in the morning?" He says, "Sure." "Convinced?" "Convinced." "How do you know? You're a novi?" He says, "No, but the sun rose this morning, and it rose yesterday, and as far as I know, it's risen every single day, ever since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so why would tomorrow be different?" So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, "I don't disagree with you. I also agree with you. I also think that the sun will rise tomorrow morning, and it will set this evening. The only difference between you and me is where we know it from. You know it based on logic. Your intuition tells you if it rose this morning, it probably rise tomorrow morning. Why should it be different?" "Do you know how I know it?" says the Chofetz Chaim. "I know it from a pasuk in Parashas Noach. Because in Parashas Noach it says four words. Yoim volaylo loy yishboisu. Day and night, the clock will never stop. It'll always be day and night, and day and night." So the Chofetz Chaim says, "That's where I know it from. You know it based on logic, and I'm not disagreeing with your logic, but my ideas are all based on the Torah. Because if the Torah says, Yoim v'layla lo yishboisu, that day is followed by night, and night is followed by day, and day is followed by night, and lo yishboisu, that will never stop, as far as I'm concerned, that's the reality, and after that, all other logic doesn't matter anymore." That's what the Chofetz Chaim is teaching. This is a tremendous yisoid, and I want to, Be'ez Hashem, discuss this a little bit this evening. We have another classic example. The Gemara tells us famously, in the beginning of times, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. Yaakov Avinu never died. Never died. Now the truth is, Tosfos points out there immediately that if you look at the Loshon of the Pasuk never actually said that Yaakov died. It doesn't say Vayomois Yaakov, it says Vayigva. Vayigva means he expired. It doesn't actually say that he died. Okay. But that was Rav Nachman's Chiddush. Rav Nachman said that Yaakov Avinu, or Rav Nachman's Chiddush, that Yaakov Avinu never died. So the Gemara says, one moment. We surely know that they buried him. And we surely know that they embalmed him. So why would they bury him? Why would they embalm him? So he answered back three words. Mikra ani deirish. Don't ask me any questions. I have a pasuk. What's the pasuk? So he quoted a pasuk in the Novi, which compares Yaakov Avinu to his descendants. And if his descendants are alive, then Yaakov is also alive. End of Gemara. How did he answer the question? The question was, why did they bury him? Why would they embalm him? So Rashi there says, no. If we have a pasuk that teaches us that actually he is alive, then apparently nidme lohem shemeis. It only appeared to them that he died. So they might well have buried him, but you know, he never died. But they buried him in a pasuk. The pasuk says that if his descendants are alive, then he is alive. That's it, period. Game over. All the proofs in the world are now irrelevant because the Torah is the reality. And if the Torah says in the pasuk, based on his limud, that Yaakov Avinu didn't die, then Yaakov Avinu didn't die. You can bring 7 trillion proofs, it's all immaterial, it's all irrelevant. The way that this can be best explained, this is the way Rabbi Chassman explained, he said as follows. Imagine the door opens and in walks Reuven. Now, how do you know it's Reuven? Looks like Reuven. All of a sudden, this Reuven starts talking, but he sounds like Shimon. He looks like Reuven, but he sounds like Shimon. So I'm a steer. So what am I going to do? It can't be Reuven and Shimon that I know. So he's either Reuven with a funny voice, or he's Shimon with a funny appearance. One of the two. Most people will tell you that which one will win the day, the way he looks. If he looks like Reuven, you can't change the way you look. But I've got a kasha, but he certainly sounds like Shimon. And I'm going to have to say, maybe he's got a sore throat today. Maybe he's putting on a funny voice. I'll come up with 100 different reasons why, because I can't argue with what I see. Seeing is believing. That's the reality. So once I have this notion that what I see is what I believe, and everything else that doesn't fit in with that, I'm going to have to do away with. Imagine I say to you, listen, you wouldn't believe what I saw today. I saw the God Ladder, I saw Rukhan Kanievsky walk into the Makolet and steal a cucumber. What will you say to me? You didn't see it. I'm telling you, I did. I photographed it. There's something wrong with your camera. No, I just bought the camera fresh this morning. He didn't steal it. He must have spoken to the owner of the store, and the store owner said he could take the cucumber. No, I also thought of that. I checked out with the store owner. The store owner doesn't even know Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He never gave him permission. There must be a different... I'll come up with 70... Why everything that I'm telling to you are you pushing aside? The camera's broken and I never saw it. Why can't you just say, well, apparently he stole. Isn't that easier? No. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's not a Matthias at all. There is no sad Shabbat where Reb Chaim Kanievsky stole this cucumber. So everything else that doesn't fit in with that, I'm going to have to do away with. And I'll say every day in the world, your camera's broken and you didn't see and it looks like and you think and it wasn't. Why? Because that is the reality. Imagine I say to you, do you know, a certain person who passed away. Very, very sorry to hear it. And all of a sudden, he walks in. Well, apparently he didn't pass away. What are you going to say? No, he did pass away, and this is just an image, and it's a mirage. And... can't be. Why? Because seeing is believing. And if I see this person, it doesn't matter what I heard, and what I thought, and what I... doesn't matter. I see it in front of my eyes. Once I see something, seeing is believing, and after that it's non-negotiable. So here we have the next stage. The next stage is, what happens if I see something and I hear something, but the Torah says differently? Well, then the seeing is not believing. Because the Torah is believing. The Torah is the Metzius. If the Torah says, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, then Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. Yeah, but we saw him buried, we saw him die. So Rashi says, no. Nidme Loi Meis. Apparently it only appeared that he died. How do you know? Maybe he really did die. No, because the apostle says that he doesn't. That's the reality. We all have our givens. If I see something, that's a given. Seeing is believing. The Torah is one stage further. Whatever the Torah says, that is the reality. And after that, nothing else matters. I'll give you another example. Another story. The Gemara tells us, famous story, I think we all know this, Yerushalayim was besieged by the Romans. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, with great mysterious nefesh, manages to smuggle himself out of Yerushalayim to try and intercede on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And he meets Aspasianus. Aspasianus was the army general of the Romans, and he approaches him and he says to him, Shalom Olecha Malka. Greetings unto you, the king. And what does Aspasianus say to him? That's it, you chayev misa twice. Why twice? He says, well, firstly, I'm not a king. So why are you poking fun? Why are you addressing me as a king when I'm not the king? And secondly, if I really am the king, why did you only come now? So he says, I'm only king now, I couldn't come earlier, the Baryonim prevented me, fine. But he said, with regard to your first question, you said, I'm not a king, I have news for you. You are a king. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. It's all machlekes. You're telling me that I'm a king, said Aspasianus? Yes, I'm telling you. What do you mean I'm a king? He says, I'll tell you. Very, very simple. I've seen that you have managed to conquer Yerushalayim, you managed to besiege all of Yerushalayim. I have a pasuk, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk, that Yerushalayim can only be conquered by a melech. So 1 and 1 is 2. If only a melech can conquer Yerushalayim, and you have conquered Yerushalayim, then the inescapable conclusion is that you must be a melech. And the Gemara concludes that what happens, that very moment a messenger suddenly arrives and says to him, the Caesar just passed away, Mazel Tov, you became the melech. So I saw the altar from the Baradik says Omer. Let's just stop and examine this story a moment. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai endangered his own life by calling him king. Safe to say, he was probably endangering the lives of all of Klal Yisrael. Why was he so desperate to call him king? Why couldn't he have greeted him, Shalom Orecho, greeting him to you? Instead of having to say, no, king, and then it's a whole shtickel Torah to explain how he knows it, why the risk? So he explains again, this is the Yesod. As far as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is concerned, the Torah is the reality. It's not an opinion, that's the Metzius, that's the reality. The Torah tells me that only a king can conquer Yerushalayim, and you've conquered Yerushalayim, you must be a king. And if you're a king, the Shulchan Aruch dictates how you approach and how you address the king. How do you address the king? You don't say to him, hello, how are you? You say, greetings, your majesty, the king. So I had no choice. That's the reality. This is not an opinion. It's not a conclusion. This is the material. The Torah says, only a king can conquer Yerushalayim. So you must be a king. You're a king. There's halachas of how you dictate a king. He didn't choose to address him as such. This is the halachic requirements. Based on the understanding that this is the Messiah. So we've seen 3 times now that once the Torah presents to me as a fact a certain issue, after that nothing else matters. Yom v'layla lo yishvoisu, Yaakov avinu lo yimeis, Aspasionus is the king. That's the reality. After that nothing else matters. I'll quote you one final example. A 4th story. The Gemara tells us this incredible story. Gemara in Brachos in Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. It says Rav Sheshes was blind, couldn't see. On one occasion, Rav Sheshes went to go and greet the king. Gemara says there's an Indian to go and greet the king, a Jewish king, a non-Jewish king. On the way, he meets a tzaduki, Sadducee. So the tzaduki starts poking fun. You're off to see the king, but you can't see anything. So what are you going to see? So Shesha says to him, come, come with me, you'll see that I know more about the king than you. They're waiting for the king's grand arrival, suddenly a whole big commotion, and the tzaduki says to Rav Sheshes, ah, apparently the king's arrived. And he says, the king has not arrived. And indeed, he hadn't. They wait a little bit more, a whole big entourage and a big noise again. Oh, says the tzaduki to Rav Sheshes, the king clearly has arrived. And he says, no, the king has not arrived. And this happens a 3rd time, and once again he says, the king has not arrived. And all of a sudden, stone silence. Said Rav Sheshes to the tzaduki, the king has arrived. And indeed, suddenly the king turned up. Without seeing. So the tzaduki turned around to Rav Sheshes and says, how did you know? 1st time, 2nd time, 3rd time, there's a whole big commotion, a whole big balagan. The king, the horses, the chariots, the wagon, the entourage. No, it's not the king, it's not the king. When he went absolutely silent, that was the king. How did you know? So what did he answer? Pasuk. Which pasuk? He says, the pasuk tells us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu once appeared to the Navi. And the Navi is awaiting the king's arrival. And all of a sudden, this is the way the pasuk says, there was a tremendous ruach. And says the pasuk, loi beruach Hashem. That wasn't Hashem. All of a sudden, there was an enormous ra'ash, a big noise. How does the pasuk carry on? Loi beruach Hashem. All of a sudden, 3rd time, there's an enormous esh. Oh, that's got to be it. Loi be'esh Hashem. The pasuk says in conclusion, after that, it was a koil d'momo daka. a silent voice. That was Hashem. Says Rav Sheshes, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always parallels the Malchus down here on earth. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, three times there was a commotion and that wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when there was silence, it was. That's how I knew that this is how this king must conduct himself as well. One second. If there's a big entourage, and there's all the horses and the carriages, for the world, it must be the king. Don't bring me proofs. The Pasuk says not that way. It's a Pasuk. That, therefore, is the reality. Game over. So after that, nothing else matters anymore. If I have a Pasuk that says that the Melech comes in silence and not in noise, then that's the reality. After that, you can bring me 10 trillion proofs. It's all irrelevant. If I have a Pasuk that says, Yaakov Avinu lo imeis, then Yaakov Avinu lo imeis. If I have a Pasuk that tells me that you are the king, then you are the king. And says the Chofetz Chaim, if I have a Pasuk that tells me that the sun is setting today, then that's how I know it. All other proofs are all irrelevant. There is, I think, a tremendous musa that must be learned from this. And I think this is very much in Yonah Diyema. We read last week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Now Chazal tell us, and I think everybody knows this, famous Zohar, even if you don't know any other Zohar, this Zohar everybody knows. Four words Zohar. Istakel Bo'iraisa Ubora Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. The Torah is the DNA. The Torah is the blueprint for the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and based on that he created the world. The world is based on the Torah. Now I'd like to ask a question. Fine. If that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Why must I know that? Why is that important for me to know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, not me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. How? He looks and says, very interesting fact, but Chazal don't tell us interesting things. Chazal tell us things that we need to learn from. What do I learn from the world? I don't create worlds. I'm not busy building worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So that's the way he created. Very, very interesting. And the answer is that that's a mistake. We are all building worlds. Each person is an Olam Mole. Every person, every child, every family is comprised of an Olam Mole. We are all building worlds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, you want to build a world? You want to build yourself? Look in the Torah. If you base your binyan on the Torah, then you'll come out with a world. And if you base it on something else, you'll come out with nothing. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us. Chazal are not just informing us of something, an interesting fact. Rather, they're teaching us, this is the way that you build a world. Because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, by looking in the Torah. Istakel bo'iraisa ubora alma. When I mention this is in Yonah Diyema, of course I'm referring to the fact that within minutes, almost this year after Simchas Torah, the Torah world was hit by the difficult news, the passing of Rav Nissim Karelitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the Gedolei Olam. The very next day, the news that hit me and all of Klal Yisrael, my Rebbe Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, passed away. We want to define for ourselves a Gadol B'Yisrael, but more importantly, we want to know how can we adapt their Gadlus into our lives. We have to understand that a Gadol B'Yisrael is somebody who lives a life of Istakel Bo'iraisa Ubora Alma. He looks in the Torah. That's the way he thinks. He doesn't think differently. He doesn't see differently. Imagine if I gave you a green lens in your glasses. It's not possible to see anything which isn't green. It's not shaykh. I can dangle in front of you a white piece of paper and argue with you all day long and you'll tell me it's green and you're right because you see green. You can't see anything else. Agadol B'Yisrael, who's a stakel boiraisa, the way he builds his world is always by looking through the prism of Torah. So he is incapable of seeing anything else other than Rotsan HaTorah, Das Torah. Adalavai of Ramusan Karelitz, Sechet Tzadik Levrocha, one of the Maspidim, said, in the name of other Gedolei Yisrael, Reb Nissim's muskel rishon, which means his first thought, is Das Torah. Not that he has to arrive at the conclusion of Das Torah. What hits him as an initial first thought is Das Torah. Because this is somebody who's invested his entire life in Limud Torah, such that his lenses are now untainted and 1000% undiluted Torah lenses. Yisakel b'reisa bora'al. Everything that he knows, everything that he sees, everything that he thinks is Torah. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim was telling us. You know the sun will set because it happened yesterday, happened tomorrow, you've got all logic. I know it from the Torah. As far as I'm concerned, the Torah is the reality, and that's where my ideas come from and from no other place. I'm not disagreeing with your logic. Your logic may well be sound. If the sun set yesterday and the day before that, it's safe to assume it will set today. It's no consequence to me whatsoever. Because I know it from the Torah. The Torah says, Yerbalayla lo yishpoistu. That's istakel bo'iraisa u'bora alma. I know all of my ideas from one place and one place only. And that's why, and we've mentioned this in the past, Gedolei Yisrael see things differently to us. That's why the Torah describes the leaders of the generation as Einei Ha'edah. They are the eyes of the generation. What does that mean, they're the eyes? Listen to these words of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in one place in the Igeres Taimon, he's describing the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Nevi'im, and he says, we rely on the Nevi'im, and he says three words, because they are the Balei Ho'einayim Ho'amitios. They have the true eyes. Our eyes are a bit distorted, a bit tainted, but the eyes of Gedolei Yisrael are the eyes of the Torah. We've discussed this in the past. The Torah says, you must listen to Chazal, whatever they tell you, right or left. And what does Rashi tell us famously? Even if they tell you, left is right is left, whatever they tell you, you should listen. Now what does that mean? I'm not going to argue this is right. If someone tells me this is left, he's wrong. What does that mean? I must listen. It doesn't make any sense. And what's the answer? Because every single person in this room, if I would ask you, tell me, point to the wall on the right-hand side, you'd all point to that wall. But I would point to this wall. Who's right? Who's correct? The answer is, it depends which way you're looking at things. So when Chazal tell you that right is left and left is right, it doesn't mean believe them with blind faith. It means understand that they're viewing it with a different perspective. So what you think is right is actually left. What you think is left is actually right. They're looking at differently. They're looking at things through the prism of I heard last night in our shul in Ramah Gimel, we had a spadim last night. One of the dayonim on the bezdin of Ramusan Karelis, his name is Agoyim Ravron Broider Shlita, he said the following thing. He said, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said, every single person has Das Torah. Shocked the audience. I always thought Das Torah is something for Gedolei Yisrael. And he explains. This is where Rabbi Chanan explains. Every person has Das Torah. But his Das Torah is exactly proportional and commensurate with the proportion of Das that he has, which is made up of Torah. In other words, a person only has one mind. You don't have five minds or two minds. One moyach. All my das comes from my mind. Now, a portion of my das is made up of Torah. But unfortunately, a portion of my das is made up from other things that are not Torah. So I have das Torah, but it's proportionate to that chelik of my mind which comprises Torah. So I have 10% Das Torah. I have Das Torah with 10%. If I have 20% of my mind being comprised with Torah, then I have 20% Das Torah. But unfortunately, I have 80% of Das Shusim. It's like, go back to my mosque, if I have lenses which are green. But imagine if the lenses are a bit tainted, a bit scratched. So what colour will I see? A bit green, a bit black, a bit all funny colours. Will I see green? I'll see green as well. But I won't only see green. That's what Rabbi Chanan was saying. Every person has Das Torah, but it's always proportionate to what part of his mind comprises Torah. G'dayle Yisrael, Histakel Beiraisu Bor Alma, who live a life of Torah is the reality, and there is no other reality. That's where it begins, and that's where it ends. So their Das Torah is absolute. Is 100% Das Torah. And that's what they meant at the Levaya of Mr. Karelitz. His Muskel Rishon is Das Torah. He cannot, he's incapable of thinking differently. He's incapable of thinking differently. Tell somebody who's wearing green lenses to look at something which is red. It still looks green. It's not shaykh that it should look differently. Because I have green lenses. That's a God will be strong. That's a God will be strong. When Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, passed away in America, but his levaya was brought here, came to Yerushalayim HaKodesh on Purim, they called up Reb Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, to say a hesped. Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, Moron, Pesach. Shlomo Zalman Oyebach approached the mitzvah, took the microphone, and he said, I'm not ro'u to say a hesped on Reb Moshe Feinstein, Adkan. His non-hesped was, of course, the greatest hesped. He says, I'm not ro'u. Shlomo Zalman Oyebach said about himself, the leader of the generation, I'm not role to say a hesped or a Moshe Feinstein. So who is role? There's only one person who's role to say a hesped or a Moshe Feinstein, and his name is Moshe Feinstein. He's the only person who could recognize his own godless. Nobody else could. Moshe Feinstein once said a hesped about himself. So we can really know what Moshe was. Imagine we're standing next to Everest and we'd be asked, describe Everest. It's out of sight. I have no frame of reference to describe Everest. It's very big. No, it's very, very big. It's extreme. I have no words, no descriptions, completely out of sight. They're too big. But if you're standing at the top of Everest, then you could describe Everest. Moshe Feinstein, listen to this, is so unbelievable that if you wouldn't read it inside, you wouldn't be allowed to believe it. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Tshuva's Igros Moshe, where he was asked there a very delicate, complex question. And he paskened kedarke b'kodesh, chidushim, alpi, rishenim, shas, and whatever his kula was, he was makel at the end of the day. Outcome. He receives a lengthy letter from a rov, and the letter, hard to believe, is full of rebuke for Moshe Feinstein. Gives tichachos for Moshe Feinstein. And he says, I can't understand, how can it be that you're makel, and you realize that your psak will cause a tremendous kilkul in all shailas of yichus in Klal Yisrael? That's what he writes from Moshe Feinstein. Now, how do I know that he wrote that? I didn't see the letter. But I did see the follow-up tshuva in Igros Moshe. In Evan or Ezer, chelek beis siman yudalef. It's just mind-blowing. First, Moshe writes to him, and he says, first, I'd like to thank you. He says, what a tremendous chizuk it is, Baruch Hashem, I see that even in our generation, there's still people who are able to give tichacha. And he says, listen to these words, I received your letter, which was oruch ma'oid, extremely long, molei divrei tichacha. Can you imagine giving tichacha to Moshe Feinstein? And then Moshe Feinstein thanks him for it. He says, Baruch Hashem. Then he writes to him, he says, I noticed from the way you wrote that you seemed a little bit concerned that I might be insulted by your tichacha. He says, couldn't be further from the truth. I thank you, I'm so mishazik that Baruch Hashem, there's still people who are capable of giving tichacha. But then, But then he writes the following. He says, however, Aval Ho'emeth, he says, whatever I wrote in my previous tshuva will not cause any kilkul, as you suspect. Nothing at all. And he says, and your irur, meaning your criticism, do you know where your criticism comes from? That's what he writes to the shoyel. Bo me hashkofis, it comes from hashkofis, sheboim, which in turn, do you know where your hashkofis apparently come from? Miyediyas deyois chitzonius. Apparently you've been influenced by some external influence. That's what I can see. That's where your hashkofa is coming from. And he writes, unfortunately, these deyois chitzonius are mashpia, even without knowing. And he writes, it's mashpia even on gedolim b'chochma, very wise people. And sometimes they don't realize that's why they're paskening. Something which is really mutter and they say osa, and something which is osa, they say it's mutter. And they don't themselves realize that they've been influenced. Why? Because they have exposure to the outside world. And then he writes one more line, and this is Ramosha's Hesped. This is Ramosha's Hesped on himself. Va'ani, says Ramosha, Baruch Hashem, she'eini loy mehem. I'm not one of them. Listen to his words. V'kol hashkofosai. All of my hashkofos who rak miyediyas hatoiro. All of my hashkofos, they come from one place and one place only. They come from the Torah. Believe shum ta'arubos, without any external influence, miyediyas chitzonius. Shemishkoteho emes. Sometimes I might be machmeh, and sometimes I'm being meku. You don't know where I'm coming from? One place, from the Torah. Nothing that I think, none of my hashkofa, says Ramosha, come from any other place but the Torah. Who else can say that about themselves, and who else can say that about Ramosha? I'm not a mind reader, I don't know what goes through Ramosha's mind, but Ramosha does. So Rosh Zalman Auerbach says, I'm not role to give a hesped on Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein is role to give a hesped on Ramosha Feinstein, and he did. V'kol hashkofosai urak miyedias atayru. In other words, do you know which glasses Ramosha Feinstein wore? Torah glasses. Without any tainted lens in any which way or whatsoever. So therefore, I might be Mekel, I might be Machnev. You wonder where I'm coming from? The Torah. But you, the child, says Ramesha, you're coming from other places. And the tragedy is you don't yourself realize it. That's a godly bistro. A godly bistro, like we said, lives a life of istakil bo'iraisa ubora alma. I want to build myself. I want to become a great person. So I look in the Torah. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. Whatever the Torah says, that's the reality. So if it says in the Torah that tonight the sun is going to set, in the Torah it says that the sun is going to set, so it's going to set. It's now non-negotiable, I don't need to bring any proofs. And if you bring me a proof for or against, it's all irrelevant, because my ideas come from the Torah. But Torah says that Yaakov Avinu didn't die, that's it, finished, game over, you have a kasha, but they buried him, very nice kasha. So we'll say, laved up, that they didn't bury him, or they looked it, or they thought, or he appeared, but he didn't die. How do you know? Torah says. Aspasianus is the king, but he claims he himself claims that he isn't. Doesn't matter to me. I have a positive saying that you are. There's all this big noise. Surely it must be the melech. No. Only when there's silence. How do you know? That's what the apostle says. So I don't bring proofs. If there's a noise, it must be the king. If you want to point it as the melech, you're not really the melech. If they buried Yaakov, all those proofs are all irrelevant. Why are they irrelevant? Because kol ashkafos rak midia satira. That's the way I think. I'm incapable of hearing, seeing, believing, thinking anything else. That's a God of Israel. That's the God of Israel. A God of Israel who lives the life of Torah, therefore thinks Torah. So when we mourn the loss of Gedolei Yisrael, we're not just mourning the loss of people who learned Torah. We're actually mourning the loss of Torah. Not of Loinde Torah, of Torah. They actually become one with the Torah. The Gemara tells us that there's some people who are foolish. Do you know why they're foolish? Because when the Sefer Torah comes into shul, they all stand up. And when a Talmid Chacham comes in, they don't stand up. One second. Why is he called a fool? I would call him a Rosha. Do you know why he's a fool? Because if you're standing up for a Sefer Torah, don't you understand that a Gadol Yisrael is a Sefer Torah? He's not a Rosha, he's a fool. He's become one with the Torah. That's what he sees, that's what he believes, that's what he thinks, that's what he is. He's a Matzias of Torah. And in some respects, even greater than a Torah. The story is told, unbelievably, when a Tziv was once dancing in Simchas Torah with the Sefer Torah, he tripped and he fell. He fell on the floor, and the Sefer Torah fell on the floor as well. His son picked up his father, the Netziv, and then picked up the Sefer Torah. The Netziv is a Sefer Torah, and in some respects, greater than the Sefer Torah. So when we lose Gedali Yisrael, we haven't just lost people who learn Torah, we have lost Torah. We have to know what we've lost, we have to appreciate what we've lost. In conclusion, sometimes when we talk about Gedali Yisrael, it doesn't produce the desired effect. To the contrary, they're so out of sight. What's that got to do with little old me? I'm 10% Das Torah, I'm 20%, I have the green glasses, the blue glasses. I don't know, this is off the radar for me. It's not off the radar for anybody. Firstly, first and foremost, every person can be mischazek in limud Torah. The more one is omol b'Torah, the more one becomes one with the Torah. But secondly, we can always have shaychus with Gedali Yisrael. We can be misyayetz with Gedali Yisrael. We can learn from Gedali Yisrael such that their godless is mashpia on me as well. Why would I ask a Gedali Yisrael about which yeshiva to send my son to? Why would I ask a Gadol Yisrael who I should vote for in the election? Why would I ask a Gadol Yisrael which town should I live in? Do you know why you should ask them? Because they are Torah. And if you are Muhammad the Gedali Yisrael, if you are mitchaber, you connect yourself to Gedali Yisrael, or to those who themselves are connected to Gedali Yisrael, then ultimately you are connecting yourself with the Torah. I don't know what the Torah wants of me. Istakel b'irais b'bara alma. Every which way I want to build my world. How? By looking in the Torah. I don't know always what the Torah wants from me. Beseda says, speak to people who do. Speak to the representatives of Torah. Who are the representatives of the Torah? The people who have become Torah themselves, Gedali Yisrael. That's why it's so central. It's so central to our basic hashkafas that when we're misyayet with our Avonim and with our Gedalim, with Das Torah, it's not just a nice thing to do and a recommendable thing to do. That's the way we live. That's our istakil b'iraisu bara alma. I want to build myself up. I want to become a greater person. I want my family to become a greater family. How do I do that? Look in the Torah! Or speak to those people who themselves are Torah. If that's what we can learn following the passing of these great tzaddikim, great Gedali Olam, Reb Nissim Karelitz, Shlomo Zalman Ulman, if I may just say, Roshoschem, one line. I said this last night in our shul. Maybe one or two of you, I know one or two of you did, see Reb Shlomo Zalman Ulman. He was an ill man all his life. At the age of 2, he contracted polio. Here in Eretz Yisrael. His parents put him in an institution. At that time, there wasn't really much you could do, and they basically gave up on him. The father of Reb Shlomo Zalman went to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said, take him out immediately. Take him out of this institution. They won't take care of him. He'll just deteriorate, and that'll be that. Send him to America. To America? 70 years ago, it was unheard of to do such a thing. How do you finance it? What would you do? And how would you... The Chazon Ish said, finish. It's non-debatable. He sent him to America for 6 years as a 2-year-old baby. During the course of those 6 years, his mother was unable to visit him once. She had young children at home. His father was able to visit him once or twice. There was an older brother who was still alive and well. He actually came now to Eretz Yisrael for the Shiva. He had an older brother, 20 years his senior. He was one who looked after him. He took him around from place to place. At the Levaya, the Kiryat Sefer Rav says that the Chazon Ish told the father, you can be, rest assured, he'll have another 70 years. And he worked out the dates. Within 2 weeks, it was 70 years. He was initially the age of 72 or 73. So a lot of the people at the Hespedim, they described his great mysterious nefesh. All his life he had polio, he could hardly walk, they pushed him in a wheelchair. It was difficult to see when he did try and walk. He was very bent over. And he spoke in the Hespedim about the mysterious nefesh. Shem Zalman learned the mysterious nefesh. And I'll tell you the truth, it bothered me a little bit. And I'm assuming that what they meant was not exactly the way it sounded. I was there to be close to Shlomo Zalman only for a few years. I didn't once feel that Shlomo Zalman is being Meister Nefesh. I never felt that. I never felt that here he's doing something which is difficult for him, which is very hard for him. When you were in his presence, if anybody, I know, from Shizelek or Bernard, you actually saw him. You couldn't have met somebody with more ne'imus, with more chayim, with more simchas achayim. When you were with him, you felt you were the person who felt he was the luckiest person in the world. Ashrei yeshev v'secho, those who are yeshev v'beis Hashem, ashrei, they are the most fortunate person. It wasn't easy. It's not deniable. It was very difficult for him. But meister nefesh, it wasn't meister nefesh. What these speakers meant, that for us, that's called mysterious nefesh. You know, for us, we're learning the Beis HaMedrash, and the air conditioning isn't quite on the temperature that we want. It was a difficult Seder, but I learned the mysterious nefesh. That's mysterious nefesh. You know, Shaman once said, it was known that he used to drive him crazy. People say, oh, mysterious nefesh, mysterious nefesh. He said, that's not called mysterious nefesh. That's maybe called mysterious haguf. It's not mysterious hanefesh. He said, one person is Meister Nefesh, as Shteyman said. You know who that is? Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel of the Mir, because he has no goof. So he's Meister Nefesh. If I may humbly add, the same could be said about Rav Shteyman Zalman. In our terms, that was a mysterious nefesh. He had no goof. He could hardly move, he could hardly walk. But he never got that feeling. He is a person, so difficult, but I'll do it anyway because it's very important. No. He felt you were with somebody who felt that he was the luckiest person, and indeed he was. Zecher to Imamid, a big mishpacha, hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim, thousands maybe of time, I have no idea, not just in this country, in Chutz La'aretz, he has Talmidim or Rabbonim in many, many different places. It wasn't Meister Nefesh. He realized and felt, Ashrei Yeshvei Beisecho, the Torah is my life, and I became one with the Torah. So whatever he thought, whatever he saw, whatever he believed, whatever he spoke, that was Torah. He was one with the Torah. And we're told, we say it every day, Ashrei Yeshvei Beisecho. Let's try, Be'ez Hashem, to be misamik, and misamik to our own limud Torah. And by connecting ourselves more with Gedolei Yisrael, that way we will feel more as well, ourselves, Ashrei Yeshvei Beisecho. The whole of Elul, we davened, Shifti b'beis Hashem. That's all we want to do. We want to be yeshiv b'beis Hashem. And if you are yeshiv b'beis Hashem, what happens to you? Ashrei yeshiv b'secho. Then you lead the most rich, enriched, and most fortunate lives. May we all be zeicher to that, and may we only hear b'ez Hashem the serious things. Amen.